I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? I snuck up on the sound guys with that one. They're usually waiting for that to start the CD. Anyway, well, if you've got a Bible, would you turn in it to the book of Hebrews chapter 4? I should have saved all that introduction for what I'm just about to say, because this entire series is just based on that premise. Molly and I, over the last several years in our lives and in the life of our kids, have just had to re-educate ourselves in so many different things in regards to mental health. It's historically, it's not something, for example, that they taught me in Bible college, although while I was in Bible college, I actually studied communication and psychology, so I did more of it than most of my pastoral studies or Bible studies majors. Come to find out, I've used that just as much as I've used my Bible training, just because most of what we deal with has to do with things that we're struggling with in our mind and in our hearts. And so even though we don't talk about it very much, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to do this. Otherwise, I won't be able to continue and finish the sermon. But nothing messes up a sermon more than a crooked front row. So, and that's a perfect illustration of something, still not right, of something that I'm going to tell later. If you're stressed out, anybody ever get stressed out? If you're stressed out because the chairs are crooked, I got a great suggestion. Fix them. Now I'm not stressed anymore. There is a practical illustration of something that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. And I just want to talk about stress a little bit today. Anybody ever get stressed? Of course you do. If you don't get stressed, you're not alive. It's a natural instinct. Animals get stressed. Insects get stressed. Trees get stressed. Yes, they do. Stress is a very natural part of life and living organisms. You know, before about the 1920s and 30s, that word stress wasn't used of emotional conditions. That was a scientific word. You know, they would talk about stress in metals, or in engineering, stress meant kind of pressure and force. Somewhere along in the 20s and 30s, we started using that word to talk about that emotion that we deal with, stress. Now, it's hard to describe, and even those that are experts don't always agree on how to define it. When they first started using the word, somebody suggested they should use distress, because, you know, there's good and bad stress. Did you know that? Stress is just, in its most basic form, it's where that equilibrium in our life, or the homeostasis, which means I'm balanced, I'm calm, I'm at rest. But something disrupts that. And how many know that homeostasis can get disrupted for good reasons and bad reasons? And so exercise or playing a sport is a stress. You know, one of my favorite forms of stress is boating. I know. How is that stressful? It is. I got to tell you, I go out on my boat and I'm like a dog with his head out the window. I'm loving every minute of it. And just from being out there with the wind and the waves, the constant motion of the boat, the sun in my face, all of those things are natural stressors on the human body. When I go home at night, I sleep like a baby. And so there are good stresses, and there are bad stresses. Ones that, you know, the kind that you think of when you think of stress, the pressures, the attacks of people, the stress that's from the workplace, the stress of money. Pastor Mike, I thought you had good news for us today. I want to talk about how to win the victory over stress. And no, I'm not an expert. And I still struggle with it just like you do. I get stressed out. And so I don't pretend to have a bunch of things to tell you about it that probably you've never heard before. Probably almost everybody in this room, if I was to ask you to teach about stress, you'd come up with some of the same points. Because you know it all. But just because we know it doesn't mean we always do it. Isn't that true? And so today, I don't know if I have all of the answers, but I do just want to just have a discussion about it. Can we do that? Man, this last season has given us a lot of new reasons to be stressed. Have you noticed? And so I just wondered, how did Jesus deal with stress? Or I wonder if he ever got stressed. How many think Jesus ever got stressed? Like, how could he get stressed? He's the don't worry guy. He's the, you know, don't worry, consider the lilies of the field, all of that. But the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, it says this really interesting thing. Now, this passage itself doesn't talk about stress, but it talks about Jesus. So listen what he says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And then he says one of the most powerful things in the Bible. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. That word tempted, it might lean a little too heavily on the idea of tempted to sin, but that word tempted can also just mean troubled. So he experienced all the troubles, all the hardship. He got hot, he got cold, he got tired, he got hungry. So if you get hungry, sooner or later, you're going to get hangry. You know, he had good days and bad days. He had emotions. He was completely human in every way, and yet it says that he didn't sin. But I love this phrase. It says he's able to empathize. That means feel along with us, to share those feelings. Why? Because he was fully human. Every weakness. And so if that's true about him, we know he knew what it meant to be stressed, because that is only human. And then he says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I wonder if anybody's been stressed this last week. Do you have any causes of stress? Every one of us, I've noticed this from the beginning of the pandemic, even if you weren't stressed before then, there has been just a chronic state of stress. And every time we think it's over, it comes back again, just like a bad penny. It keeps rising back up and we can't get rid of it. There's been this low-lying stress, and some of us have been extremely stressed. But even those of us that have been coping pretty well, there's an underlying stress about this season. Have you noticed? And if we're not careful, and if we aren't proactive about dealing with the stress, because everybody gets stressed, if we're not proactive at dealing with it or don't have proper management techniques, it can get the better of us. It can come out in anger. Prolonged stress ends up in depression. It can end up in delusions. It can end up in all sorts of different bad habits. And so before we deal with any of those other ones, I want to deal with just this underlying feeling of stress. And I should just show you, the more I was thinking about this topic, I kept coming back to this movie. It wasn't about stress management, but it was about anger management. And those two things are really closely related. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Anger Management, but tell me if you can't relate to this guy. And this is even before there were things like masks and vaccinations.
Excuse me, can I get a headset?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Oh my god, it's disgusting. Yeah.
Miss?
I'll be right there, sir.
Where's your headset?
She's busy right now, but it's coming.
For crying out loud, you're missing important plot points.
Ma'am?
Could you give me a second, sir?
Excuse me. Could I maybe get that headset, please?
Do not raise your voice to me, sir.
I wasn't raising my voice.
Okay, just calm down.
I am calm. I just want my headset.
Sir, our country is going through a very difficult time right now, and if you're not going to cooperate...
I don't know where a headset ties into patriotism.
Is there a problem here, sir?
I don't think so.
Can you come to the back of the plane with me so we can have a talk?
But talk about what? There's not a problem. The steward is just keeps...
Flight attendant.
The flight attendant keeps ignoring me when I ask...
Calm down.
I am calm. What is it with you people?
You people.
Oh, now wait a minute. I don't mean you people. I mean you people.
Sir, I will not tolerate any racist behavior on the plane. This is a very difficult time for our country.
I know that. I'm not a racist. I just want to watch the movie.
I'm only going to say this one more time, sir. Calm down.
I'm calm!
Not on? Did you hear any of it? You just saw my lips moving? All I said is, have they had to tase you this year? What a great New Year's resolution. Don't make them tase me this year. Stay calm. Just deal with it. We have so many different things in our life now that we never thought we'd have to deal with. But there is a basic response. There's a difficulty in knowing how to define stress. There's an author named Hans Selye that said stress is so hard to define. In addition to being itself, it's also the cause of itself and the result of itself. And so I want to talk about all of those things. They tell us that there's an initial response, and this happens in animals and humans alike. Have you heard it? There's a physiological response to stress that's called the fight or flight reflex. I think there's one more, and there's probably 10 more, but I think there's another option too. Fight, flight, or freeze. And by the way, by flight, I don't mean flying. It means to flee, to run away. And so there's something that happens when, like a tiger comes up on you, like that's ever going to happen. Your body instantly, even before your brain tells your body to do anything, your body has a physiological response to either run away or to stay and fight, or if you're a really good possum, freeze and don't do anything. And what's amazing is we can see it in animals, but it also happens in human beings. It's one of the most basic responses, and it has to do with just about every other topic we're going to talk about. It's what happens when somebody has a reaction to PTSD. It is just one of the most basic responses. And so I want to talk about those three things, fight, flight, or freeze, and I'm going to do them in reverse order. I want to start with the impulse to freeze. And so when stress comes into our life, there is a natural response, and it's a defense mechanism. And so what the scientists say is that when we have that response, it's because, whether real or imagined, we have a sensation or an input that tells us that we're in danger. And so maybe it's paranoid, or maybe we are actually in danger. But when stress comes on, it happens because we have a sense of our natural defenses either beginning to fail or actually failing. And so now we're in danger, and so we have a reaction to it. And so let me ask you this question. So did Jesus ever have that? Did Jesus ever have a moment where he felt like his defenses were going away? Well, there's one place in the book of Mark, although Matthew and Luke also repeat the story, when Jesus is in the garden at the very end of his life. Now we know Jesus had given long speeches about the fact that he was going to go to the cross, that he was going to raise again. Even though he knew he was going to raise again, still he went through that bodily reaction because of the stress and the danger that he knew was coming. Now, his wasn't imagined. He knew they were coming, and he knew what was going to happen. So in Mark chapter 14, it says this. So he took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. So stay here and keep watch. I looked all of those words up. Every one of them could be translated as stressed. And so the first one, it says, the word is ekthambeo, which means to be stupefied. It means to be utterly surrounded and dumbfounded. Can you imagine Jesus being like that? He was just in this state of, you know, his body was just like this. It was on edge. And then it says that he was heavily distressed. The word is adamaneo, which is a derivative of a word that comes from the word Hades. So he was like feeling death creeping in on him. And just even like an animal can have that feeling of imminent danger and death. And the last one was perilupos, which means to be grieved all around yourself, overwhelmed and just surrounded, almost like you're drowning in your grief and your sorrow. Friends, I don't know what you call it, but that sounds like stress to me. I've had all of those experiences. And when the Bible says that Jesus is able to empathize with all of our emotions, he knows what that feels like. And one might even wonder if any of us have ever gone through a worse time than what Jesus did, because it wasn't just his own danger, but he had the weight of the entire world on his shoulders. How many are with me so far? And so what do you do when you come into that stress? Is it fight or flight, or is it freeze? You know, when you run into a bear in the wilderness, you know, have you ever heard the bear rules? There are people that talk like they know what to do if you come in contact with the bear. Anybody tell me what the bear rules are? What do you do? Don't run. What is it? Play dead. Look big. I wonder, who's coming up with these rules? And how do they know? I have a couple of theories on it. You want to hear my theories? I don't think anybody knows what to do when they come in contact with a bear. Because when you think about it, don't you need a control group for that kind of a study? Which means you have to have people that succeeded and failed. And as far as I determine, if you met a bear in the forest and you tried something and it didn't work, you got eaten. So you're not around to tell it. So it's only being told by one side of it. So the only rules we know are by people that evidently ran into a bear in the woods and were successful. How do we know they didn't just get lucky? How do we know that bear didn't just eat a Cub Scout before he came and now he's not hungry anymore? We don't have any idea. Maybe that bear just wasn't his type or whatever. So all we know is just some random rules. I started listening to those rules one day and it just dawned on me. You know who it sounds like made up these rules? Because all of them seem counterintuitive to me. They don't seem like what I would naturally do if I found a bear. I think the rules were made up by the bear union. I think somebody at some point, the forestry department invited somebody, a representative from the bear union, to come and speak. And so he just got up there and he gave his speech. Thank you very much, Mr. Ranger, for inviting me. That's how bears talk, by the way. He said, I just would like to go over one more time the four bear rules. Are you ready? Rule number one, don't be afraid. We're not that dangerous. We probably just ate a Cub Scout or something and aren't that hungry. So just don't be afraid. Besides, we can sense fear. You get afraid, then we get afraid. We might just kill you because we're afraid. So whatever you do, don't be afraid. Second rule, you know what it is. Whatever you do, don't run away. Don't run away. We can catch you. We're faster than we look. At that point, his buddy's in their back going, we're faster than we look. We can catch you, and then you just look like prey. So now it's going to really make us chase you down and eat you. So if it's all the same to you, whatever you do, just stay perfectly still. We'll make the decisions. Rule number three, one of the best things you could do is while you're just standing there defenseless, calm, put your hands up above your ear like this, exposing your vital organs. Looking bigger than you are. Because we can't tell. We're bears. You know, what do we know? We don't know those are your hands in your ear. We just think, wow, he was short. Now he's tall. He just grew 2 feet. I don't know how he did it. And that'll probably do it right there. So put your hands above the ear. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there's one more. If it's all the same to you, forget the first three rules and just lay down on the ground. Say it with me, and play dead. Doesn't matter, on your back, fetal position, whatever you want. Makes it a lot easier for us to get to you. And what do we know? We're bears. We're dumb. You know, a lifelong of hunting down woodland creatures for food has left us with absolutely no ability to tell if something's alive or dead. So you play dead like that, you just disappear like Arnold in Predator. We can't see you. You blend into the forest. We'll most likely just keep walking. Anyway, if there's any questions, I'll stick around. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. That's my bear speech. It sounds like it was made up, don't you think? None of that is something that I would do. I'm running. I'm just going to tell you, you and me are in the forest. We see a bear. I'm running. You know the old joke, right? You can't outrun a bear. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. I am running. The other things, you don't have to tell me to do the other things. Scream real loud. I've already done that. You know, whatever it is, just anyway. You know, can I just tell you my last theory? And I'm not an expert on bears. I don't know if you could tell that by now. But I have one suggestion. Avoid bears. Just don't encounter a bear. Don't go where bears are. And try not to look like food, which is also a very good strategy for any parts of life. But just avoid avoid bears. You know, you can do your best to stay out of those tricky situations. And so I'm still convinced that one of the best ways to deal with stress is to do your best to take the stressors away. Okay, can we always do that? Of course not. Some stresses are unavoidable. Some stresses are things that we, you know, my kids are stressful sometimes. I don't get rid of them. You know, they're important and I love them. Yes, they're stressful, but they're a part of my life. And so we can't always take the situation away, but we can deal with the cause of the stress. Part of the stress during the pandemic is lack of control. You know, we can't control whether they tell us to wear a mask or whether they open up a restaurant or close it, whether they tell us that we should homeschool our kids. We can't control a lot of things, but there are some things that we can control. And so when it comes down to the things that are bringing stress into our life, there are some simple things that we can do to help mitigate or take away the source. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, oh, did I not put it there? No, it's the next point. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, it said, during the life of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. God's answer with Jesus is he's going to take him to heaven someday, which is where we're all going to end up someday. But during his life, it says he cried out with petitions, fervent cries. He prayed with cries and tears, and he cried out to the one that could save him. We can't always take away all the stress, but we can do simple things. We can set limits in our life. Some of us get overburdened and overstressed because we don't know how to say no. Others don't have that problem, but some do. Some of us are people pleasers, and we can't say no, and when it has to do with kids or relatives or friends, we say yes to everything. Before we know it, we're overburdened. Very simple thing to do is just to begin to set healthy limits in your life. You can take any of these that applies to you. If it's your work that's causing stress, change something in your work. You know, not everybody can or needs to do this, but for some people, changing the job is maybe what's required. For others, maybe it's changing something about the job. But just keep kicking the can down the road isn't going to take it away if that's the thing that's causing undue stress. If there's conflict, oh, and I know last week I was talking about speaking the truth in love. Some of us would rather die than deal with conflict. And so we avoid it. But how many know avoiding conflict doesn't just make it go away? And you'd be amazed, even though it's more stressful for that moment to deal with it in love. If you can be successful in resolving that conflict, it takes away so much stress down the road. It can take away long seasons of stress. Some people get stressed over money. You know, there's two simple solutions to that. You know what they are? There's no secret weapon. If you're stressed about money, you can do two things about it. You can make more or you can spend less. It's amazing how many people haven't figured out that simple formula in life. But, you know, you can do either one. And maybe you don't have the ability to make anything more. You don't have any other skills or any other opportunities. Well, then guess what? Then just spend less. Maybe we don't need to keep up with the Joneses as much as we thought we did. Maybe money and things don't bring us that much happiness. In fact, sometimes the more stuff I get, the more stuff there is to maintain. And then I get back behind. Anybody with me so far? You know what I told you at the beginning? Almost nothing I have to say today is original. You've heard all of this stuff before from your grandparents, from your parents. I'm just rehearsing some of the good and oldies. I'm just reminding us about the fact that we really do have more control than we think. We don't have ultimate control. No, we can't get rid of all stress in our life. But every once in a while, I find myself being stressed about things that I do have the ability to control it. If I put my mind to it, if I said, what's the source of this? You know, I was doing a project with a professor friend of mine, and I love him dearly, but he would argue with everything that I said. And I just said, after a while, Molly said I'd come up to bed, and I'd just be fuming out of my ears. And it just so, she goes, why are you doing it? I said, yeah, I know. Why am I doing it? It had nothing to do with my job. It was only for fun. And guess what? When your hobby makes you more mad than it gives you joy, find a new hobby. said, why am I doing this? I don't even need to do this. I do grieve not doing that project anymore, by the way. But I got to tell you, my stress level went way down. And so sometimes we do have the control. And instead of freezing, if we can stay unfrozen long enough to just make a few key decisions, we can make a difference. The second thing is the instinct to flee, which, by the way, sometimes is the right answer. Sometimes running away is the right answer. Anybody remember Leroy Ellis? He came to our church for several years, and he was the tallest guy ever to come to our church. Yes, taller than me. I'm only 6'9". He was 6'11". He was the first center for the Blazers. And then in 71, 72, he was Wilt Chamberlain's backup center on that team that won 33 straight for the Los Angeles Lakers. And then one day, he showed up at our church when we were over in Columbia City. Somebody said, hey, there's somebody taller than you here today, Pastor Mike. That usually means they're 6'5", because they had to look up to him. And I walked in and I met him, and man, he was just such a humble person. And he was a good friend, and he passed away several years ago. But I asked him one time, because one of the things he was known for is his speed, 6'11", and was super fast. I was 6'9", and super slow. And so how did you get so fast? And he would say that about Wilt. He said he couldn't guard Wilt because he was so big and strong, but Wilt couldn't guard him because he was so fast. And he says, easy. He said, I grew up in the Bronx. He said, where I grew up, you were either quick or you were dead because you had three opportunities a day to get in a fight. And these were bad fights. And I just decided, man, if I think I have to fight every fight, I'm not going to live very long. So I just decided to run. So something would break out, somebody would start arguing, and he would just turn his tennis shoes up the street and just book it up the road. That's how he got so fast. I said, man, you know, some of us need to learn how to just, that we don't need to fight every fight. Sometimes the best wisdom is just to run. You know, our body tells us that. That's why that's what I'm going to be doing if I ever meet that proverbial bear. Our body tells us either we're going to fight or we can flee. And before our brain tells us, friends, so this isn't even a part of the conscious part of our brain. The fight or flight or freeze instinct happens in our autonomic nervous system. Are you proud of me for knowing that word? The part of our nervous system that controls bodily functions that we don't even think about. That's the part of us that responds to stress. So you think, oh, just mind over matter. Oh, no, no, no. Stress isn't just happening in your mind. Stress is your body reacting. That's why I think this is an amazing phrase. When Jesus, just after he was telling his disciples to pray in the garden, he says, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, what? But the flesh is weak. Oh, listen. You know what was happening in Jesus? And I never thought about this before I started thinking about the fight or flight. When it says he was in anguish and overwhelmed with distress, what? Didn't Jesus have faith? I thought if you had faith, you didn't get afraid. That wasn't just Jesus getting afraid. Listen. Because Jesus was fully human, in his spirit, he was being obedient to his Father. But his body was reacting to the immediate danger. Isn't that interesting? Jesus' body was reacting because he was fully human. His brain was saying, calm down, body. But his body was fighting because it knew it was fighting for its own defense. Animals do it, humans do it, and it happens on a physiological level. And so much, by the way, of mental health issues, and this is what something that I have had to re-educate myself, because if it's just emotional or it's just spiritual, I can pray it away. I can just pray it away. And sometimes I can pray away the physical responses too, but sometimes a physical problem requires a physical response. It requires something more. There's more to mental health than just mind over matter. You know, years ago, it's been over 10 years now since the building project ended, but when the project ended, it didn't end for me. We had finished it during the midst of the Great Recession, and the major builder of this building went bankrupt halfway through the project. And so there were a lot of corners that got cut. There were a lot of documents that got shredded, and we ended up in a four-party lawsuit. And I gotta tell you, I hate lawsuits. I don't ever want to be in one for the rest of our life, but I couldn't avoid it. I knew it was coming, I knew it was happening when it happened. I knew after it happened that it had happened, and I couldn't do a thing about it. I couldn't stop it. I knew it. And for those of you that were around during those days, you know that this is a true testimony, is that whenever in that time, because I couldn't fix it, it took about another 4 years for me to finally resolve it. And thank goodness it all got resolved and everybody got paid and it's all behind us. So I don't worry about that anymore unless I have a PTSD reaction. But during that time, oh man, it just started a little bit, just a hit. It's worth it for telling the story. But when I would start talking about it, my left eye would twitch like this. I couldn't help it. It was weird. You know, you've heard about people that had an eye twitch like that. I thought it was a joke. It isn't. I literally would sit down at the lawyer's table and we'd start talking and my eye would start going like this. And I'd go, I hated it because I didn't have control over it. It wasn't me. It wasn't my mind. It was my body reacting to the stress. I don't know if you've ever had something like that, but stress can affect you down in your organs. It can affect your immune system. It can affect a lot of things in your body. And so as much as we need to be people of faith and people that pray and people that have right thoughts, we also need to understand how stress affects the whole person. Anybody with me so far? Say amen. I love the old story about Joe Knapp, who was a pastor here back in the 50s or the 40s, and went on to become a very famous Foursquare missionary. He was down in South America one time, and they were coming to get him. They came in the middle of the night, you know, with torches, and were going to take him and his family, and they were going to kill him. The people hid the pastor in their house, and they found out where he was, and they were coming after him, and finally they just shoved him out through the back window in his jammies, and he ran off through the woods and saved his life. Towards the end of his life, he wrote about that story and given his testimony about how God saved his life that night with the help of some good brothers and sisters. And he actually felt bad about it because he says, you know, everything in my mind and my heart wanted to be a martyr for Christ that night, but my feet just wouldn't let me. I love that phrase. It's just the humility of that guy. My feet wouldn't let me die for Christ. I was ready to stay and die, but my feet took off through the woods and I just went with them. You know, our bodies have an amazing ability. And by the way, this isn't pseudoscience and this isn't some kind of just mysterious other religion. This is sound medical science about how God created us. This is how God created our bodies. Stress is not the enemy in and of itself. Stress is a natural instinct for self-preservation. Stress is something that God built into us, just like fear in and of itself is not the problem. It's the source of the fear that's the problem. If we don't have fear, we don't take our hand off the stove, we don't run. And so what causes stress in our bodies can be a whole range of things. There are a study by two people named Holmes and Rahe. They came up with the Holmes and Rahe scale of things that cause stress. They did a long study of people in the hospital, and they did a study correlating the sicknesses and the illnesses that they came down with and major life stressors that were in their life. So has this happened to you? Has this happened to you? Have you lost a loved one? Have you lost, you know, do you still have your job? You know, have you had a major injury or illness lately? And they asked them all these questions, and out of thousands of people, they came up with the scale of things that cause stress in our life. And their theory was, you know, you can add up your score on this, and there was a very good chance they could tell you about the percentage chance you had of contracting an illness that was related to stress. I thought it was interesting, but one of the most important things is I read their scale, said, I want to know how I'm doing. The scale started with things on the lowest end of the scale were things like this: major holiday, vacation, change in church activities. Those were three of the lowest ones. Can you imagine? I said, we've had all of that lately, haven't we? We just came through the holidays. Some people think of it as the happiest time. How many like us like just need a vacation after the holidays just to get over all of the, you know, and it doesn't mean it wasn't fun, but it's a lot of work too. It doesn't mean we don't love having all of those people over at our house and feeding them. That might even be our love language, but it's stressful, right? On the major end of it, the three most important things was loss of a job, loss of a job, going through a divorce, and number one, which was like 23 points of the 100 on the 100 scale, was the death of a spouse, which is why I think it's so prophetic to have that conference coming up on the loss of a spouse. And they just found that these stressors, some natural, some self-imposed, some imposed by other people, we can't help it. Body, soul, mind, and spirit are tied together. We can't avoid all of these things, but we need to watch. When we're going through something stressful, we need to even more take care of our physical bodies. We need to even more be eating healthy and sleeping and making sure that we're taking care to cut out any stress that doesn't need to be there. Anybody with me so far? You know, what's amazing to me is sometimes when I get stressed, those are the two last things I do. I don't eat right and I don't get good sleep. And that's when I need it the most. And so as much as we would like to think that the answer is just read these two scriptures and call me in the morning, much of the remedy, because it's related to our bodies, much of the remedy is going to happen in our bodies as well. You know, the Apostle Paul talked a lot about physical exercise. He said everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so if the problem affects in our physical bodies, then we need to take care to minister to that part of us as well. Can I go back to the fight or flight instinct? Do you know what actually happens physically when you get stressed, when you experience the fight or flight? And so, by the way, I didn't mention this at the beginning. All of my notes are on the website. If you click on the sermons button at the top, I just started 2 weeks ago putting my notes on there. So if you feel like you can't write fast enough to write everything down or wish you could go back and read the scripture, you can always have that. Have your own Bible studies. And so the first thing that happens is your brain. It happens in your brain. It perceives something. And where it perceives that fear or that danger, first it's in your amygdala and then it's in your hypothalamus. And it processes that signal of danger. Your brain then triggers your pituitary gland, which secretes a complex formula of hormones. And so this is happening without you thinking about it. Parts of your brain that you can't even feel and see just pumped up a bunch of hormones into your body. And in particular, two of them, one is called epinephrine in the United States. Most people call it adrenaline. How many of you have ever heard of adrenaline? It's that thing that gets pumped into your body that just kind of gives you extra strength and energy. The other one, what it actually secretes is adrenocorticotropic, which is adrenaline and another steroid called cortisol. How many of you have ever heard of cortisol? They have commercials about this. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But here's what those two things do. And so these are all related to, by the way, can we go back to the bear in the woods? He's going to talk about bears all day long. God created our body to respond to bears in the woods. And it's that fight or flight. He put that in us. He caused this whole safety mechanism that when we're faced with stress, so picture this. This goes back to where we used to see bears and tigers and lions in the woods back in the olden days. And our bodies would react. It increases blood flow to the muscles. And it constricts other blood vessels that don't need it as bad as the muscles so that more blood can be pumped into the parts of our body that need it. Our blood pressure increases. Our heart rate increases. The body pumps in, this is the part I hate, it pumps blood sugars. So it releases fats and blood sugars out of the stored fat in my body. And so now I have a bunch of extra fat and blood sugar. Like I needed that. But what is that? That's like a sugar high. That's what that is. Your body is like, okay, you don't need this every day, but boom, you know, just that's where you get that, whoa, and you're just all hopped up just for a few minutes. All that stuff gets pumped into your body. You know, you may not have ever known that this was happening, but you felt it before. You know exactly. It's why your hands begin to shake. That's why you lose natural reflexes. Your digestive system shuts down. The parts of for blood clotting, the blood clotting function of the body speeds up in order to prevent excess blood loss in the event that injury is sustained during the response. Yeah. So if you are in battle or there is a bear, if you start to bleed, it kind of slows the bleeding down. Amazing. Your pupils dilate. That means they get like this. Your pupils get huge and your hearing goes away. It's called tunnel vision. If you've ever played sports, you know about this. You know, during that moment in time, sometimes you can feel no pain and everything else shuts down and you just become highly acute. There's increased muscle tension in order to provide the body with extra strength and speed so that you can either fight that bear or run from that bear. And all of that is wonderful. I become like a Superman when I get that stress. Here's the big problem. Are you ready for it? God designed that for the fight or flight. And what we were supposed to do with it is fight or flee. The problem is we live in a post-industrialized society where a lot of us, our job is to sit in front of a computer screen like we're George Jetson pushing buttons. And we don't fight or run anywhere. We don't even walk to the mailbox anymore. We get stressed out and we roll over on the couch and watch another Netflix. And the problem is all of that adrenaline and especially the cortisol that shuts down all of those digestive system and shuts down all of those natural processes, it just settles into our system. And we become paralyzed. Settles in there. It causes weight gain. I don't know if you've seen any of these weight loss commercials. They'll start off, by the way, telling you exactly what I just said. One of the major, are you over 40 and having a problem gaining weight around your middle? I'm like, duh. And said, he goes, well, the problem is cortisol. Okay, they're right. That's a thing. That's not some mysterious thing. Cortisol is just like adrenaline. It's naturally produced in your body, and it's a good thing, but you're supposed to run it off. So while you're running from the tiger, it all burns off, and then you go back to normal again. Problem is, we don't have tigers anymore. We don't run from it. We don't work out, we don't exercise it out, and that stuff stays in your system. I used to have a pastor mentor of mine in Hawaii named Wayne Cordero that used to tell pastors this because he says, none of you exercise enough. And so he would preach five services a weekend, and he says, what do you do when you're done? Take a nap. He goes, no, worst thing in the world you can do after preaching five services is take a nap. What you need to do is, he goes, I go to the gym and I work out. I said, oh, man, that is not my instinct. I had to tell you, by the way, I know, you know, most people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying, which is crazy to me. They'd rather speak at their own funeral than be the guest of honor or vice versa. And there is a stress to this, what I'm doing right now. There's an adrenaline high. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good. I love it. But, you know, I'm usually not this animated. If you've ever hung out with me any other context, I'm usually not this excited and animated. And so after I'm done, I'm exhausted. I'm wrung out. I'm on an adrenaline low, and I've had all that cortisol and stuff like that. My first instinct is to go home, get something to eat, and lay down and watch a football game. And it's the worst. You know what happens to me when I do that? I get up on Monday morning, I can't move. I'm stiff as a board. I'm lethargic. I can't even go, you know, outside. I'm just dead. I never realized that, but I was having a physical reaction. Now, somebody, maybe after everything, there's just one little thing. And I got to say, the greatest advice ever. So what do you do with all that cortisol? Here's where those commercials lie. Because they say, you know what your problem is? Too much cortisol. Truth. And then they follow it with a lie. And so eat this supplement. This will deal with the cortisol. It's just not true. It's just, I don't know if it's what's bad, and it's probably a bunch of vitamins and some ginger root. I don't know what's in those things. They usually don't tell you. It's this proprietary non-drug thing. Just eat this and all your stress will go away. There is no drug. There is no remedy. There is no chemical that you can put in your body that will ever get rid of that adrenaline and cortisol. The only solution is one God gave us, is you got to burn it off physically. There's no other. You say, look at him preach at us. Like, he looks like he exercises a lot. You know, every preacher has one finger pointed out at them and three pointed back at themselves. And just because I don't do it that well doesn't mean I'm not telling the truth. Isn't it right? one of the things that we don't do enough is just exercise. And especially if you just had a stressful moment before the cream sets out too long. That's what a Devo line. You got to deal with that issue and go burn it off. Anybody with me? You don't have to say amen. You just nod if you know what I'm talking about is true. But I never realized. I thought all of my stress was in my head. Come to find out, most of my stress is in my body. And if I don't deal with it in my body, so I got to tell you, I am not going to go lay down on the couch after church today. I'm not. I want to, but I'm not going to. And so little baby steps, that's how we win the battle. Amen. The last thing is this, that initiative to fight. If we could just say, Lord, today I want to win the battle. We can't avoid all stress, but we can get better at managing it. Can somebody say amen to that one? We can't avoid all stress. Some of the stress is good. Some of it is unavoidable. Some of us aren't ready to retire yet. And so we got to figure it out. And so not only are we going to have stress, but we need to learn how to make an investment in ourselves. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. How do you overcome it? Can I give you another list of things that you can add to it? How do you deal with the stress? You know, one great irony is there are things that are stressors in our life. Think of your life and your energy as a big tank. And the more things I experience that stress, my tank drains like this. It gets down like a battery. You know, something that happens at work or a conflict or the kids aren't minding and stuff. My stress level drains my tank. And here's one of my big mistakes. One of the worst things we can ever do is we get into those seasons that are really draining our tank and we turn off the faucet that's filling the tank, which is all that stuff that gives us joy and that restores our strength. So the more the faucet is turned on draining the tank, we shut off the spigot that's filling it, and what happens? We crash. So the more I go through a season that's draining it, the more I need to keep that spigot wide open that's still filling it. My time with the Lord, my time with other people. But there are just even simple things. How many different great points of advice have you gotten during COVID? Take up a hobby. I learned how to crab this last year. I'm learning how to steelhead fish. I don't even like steelhead, but I'm going to go catch them. Do something with your hands, which is what I love about Molly. She knits. You can come, Molly. I'm just about done. Or whoever's coming. She knits. She's knit stocking caps and little sweaters for all of our grandbabies and all the kids in the church. All the little kids got little beanies last year. She knitted afghans for all of her family. She's just doing this with her hands. Because guess what? If you occupy your brain with doing something productive, your brain isn't doing something unproductive. Sometimes it's just as smart as occupying our brain and take it off onto something else. Get together with friends. Oh, one of the hardest things about the pandemic is we've been so isolated. We've been cut off. But it really is true. If you're going through a hard time, it's always better to go through it with a friend. It's always better. Say, yeah, but nobody wants to hear me complain. Complaining doesn't help anyway. Friends, if you're complaining and it's not helping, you're not doing it right. Complaining helps me a lot. Molly and I complain to each other all the time. We talk it out. And it's amazing how much better it is to go through something hard together than it is all by yourself. Listen to some music. Sometimes you just need to talk it out. Sometimes, and here's a great one. This has been, if I have one New Year's resolution, spend more time in nature. Get outside. I had to get over the fact that I'm not a polar bear. I don't need to hibernate. I'm not a grizzly. When it gets cold and rainy and like it is today, all foggy, I want to just hibernate in the house and cuddle up and stay inside, and it's the worst. It's going to be beautiful this afternoon. You know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be up on a creek fishing for steelhead. Am I great at steelhead fishing? No, but I've watched a lot of YouTube video on it, so I'm an expert now. I know everything there is to know about steelheading, and I've never caught one. But I'm going to, this afternoon, he's out there laughing at me right now. He's going to be mine. I'm not going to go take a nap. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. How about you? I'm not going to. The way we get over this thing is not by some magic pill or one big decision. that's going to cure everything. We always want to look to that one big decision. If I just do this, then all my problems will go away. You know how I found the victory, friends? 1,000 little decisions. 1,000 little decisions, one after the other, and keep doing it. If you're on a diet, mess up once, get back on, just keep making little decisions, and then make another one. Yeah, but it didn't. I did it last time, and it didn't fix it. Yeah, you got to just keep one little decision after another, and God is on your side. Our Savior understands everything that we're going through. Even if you're stressed, you can pray. Will you end with me with this prayer? Oop, I passed. Read this with me. It says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all of my sins." Isn't that a great prayer? Would you just pray with me? Father, Lord, today I just pray for anybody that's just been carrying that heavy weight. Lord, we all have stresses, big and small, but I know there are some people in this room that are just carrying an overwhelming weight. Just something big that's just almost crushing. Some days they get up and they have no idea how they're going to make it, how they're going to put one foot in front of the other. But I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would fill them up. Give them hope. Give them strength. Let them know that no matter what, you never leave us. You never forsake us. Strengthen them, Lord Jesus. Give them wisdom, Lord, if there's ways that they can cut things out that are the source of it. We can't always take away all the stresses, but if there's a way to manage it in such a way where it doesn't take such a toll, if somebody's in the midst of it right now and in their body, they know they're having physical effects of prolonged stress. I just pray right now for healing touch, for peace. Lord, that you'd minister to their body, to their cells, minister on a hormonal level, bring their body back in balance, bring their spirit back in balance. Minister to their soul in Jesus' name. We know, Lord God, that you know about all of these things. And you created us. And so now recreate us. Fill us up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anybody say amen? Amen, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love all of you so much. Have a wonderful day. Go in the grace of the Lord.